But I think when a child looks at you, like, I trust you, I think that's the most rewarding feeling in the world.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
I'm good, Jake. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well and really excited to learn more today about your reading tour and specifically your book titled Books for Blue. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about your Wilmington Friends School experience, both as a student, parent, and employee. So, could you just first tell me when you were first introduced to Wilmington Friends School?
1967. I was 4, and I was 4 when I started kindergarten at Friends. And what is now Jake Rashkin's room on the upper campus was my kindergarten room.
You have quite a long history here at Friends between being a member of the class of 1980, being a parent of two alumni, and then also working here. So I guess, again, what ways, although you are physically not here anymore, but in what ways do you still feel connected to Wilmington Friends School?
I was a student here for 13 years. Our kids both went here, one for 13, one for 14 years, and I worked here for 15 years. So that's a pretty deep level of connection, obviously, and that's sort of in your blood, in your bones, kind of connection. At the same time, when I stopped working here, I do think there's a certain graciousness in getting out of the way for the next person. So I have not been involved day to day with Friends, but it's certainly a very big part of me.
During your time here as a student, who were some of those teachers, coaches that really had a profound impact on you and your experience?
I think for me, one who stands out and who I stayed in touch with throughout her life was Violet Richmond. And I was trying to think about why. The other person I think of was a coach, Lee Bush. And I was trying to think about what those two people had in common to have a lasting influence. And I think it was that they made me feel like we were in a trusted partnership. You know, we're in this together. I've got your back, you've got my back. It's kind of mutual respect and mutual trust, which is, I think, still what I value most out in the world in working relationships. But, you know, that you're in a project together.
In what ways did your Wilmington Friends School education prepare you for life post high school as you navigated your career?
Well, I think just to follow up on what we just talked about, you know, that value of collaboration, mutual respect, mutual trust in endeavors. I think that's had a lasting impact. But I think most fundamentally, it's that idea of there's that of God in everyone. You know, whether you do that in a religious way or a secular way, that's a lens. Once you look at the world that way, you can't stop looking at the world that way.
Shifting gears a little bit here, can you tell us just about the inspiration behind the reading tour and specifically your new book, Books for Blue?
Well, there was a tide of friends for that because the lower school librarians here used to talk about kids picking a just right book, and they were talking about appropriate reading level. It's sometimes, you know, little kids want the biggest book, and trying to get them to pick the just right book. And that's a phrase that stuck with me because I thought about it in another term, you know, just right in a lot of ways, not just in terms of reading level, but in terms of right for you, what you're interested in, what you really want to read about. So that was the phrase I started with. And we have a made for kids library card in Delaware, which has Baby Blue on it, Baby Blue Hen. And Emily David Hirschman, also a Friends grad who works for the governor, she started doing watercolors of Baby Blue while she was on maternity leave. I was like, okay, we can actually really do this. We can do this just right book kind of theme with Baby Blue. So that's sort of how it started.
How do you hope this project will impact children and families throughout the state of Delaware?
Well, I'm not so presumptuous to think that our little project will have a giant impact directly, but I think as part of a broader effort to encourage early childhood literacy activities and raise awareness of how important those years before kindergarten are toward healthy brain development and school readiness, and just to be part of that push, push that needle of awareness. I hope it'll be part of that.
To build off that point, why is early childhood literacy so important for students, especially at that kindergarten age or even slightly before?
The rate of brain development from birth to three is extraordinary and much faster. The neurons, the neural connections that are forming at a faster rate than they ever will again. And it's something like, I forget, a million a second, 2 million a second. It's something incredible like that. And they're not just the connections, the brain development you need to for literacy, for reading. They're interconnected, they're interdependent. So it has to do with healthy attachment to the parent caregiver. It has to do with being able to read the world, as it were, not just read a book. To think, to analyze, to make good decisions, and again, to have good relationships. I also think literacy activities at that age, in the context of a positive relationship with an adult, think about, you have a little kid on your lap, you're reading a book. I think those literacy activities can contribute to healthy attachment in an important way. I don't think we talk about that enough. From what I, again, I always try to make clear, I am not a child development expert, I'm a child development advocate. But from everything I've learned, I think healthy attachment is the foundation of almost everything in terms of healthy development for kids. So there's just no way to overstate the importance of that early brain, healthy brain development at the earliest age.
Books for Blue is available in three languages: English, Spanish, and Haitian Creole. Can you discuss the importance of making your book accessible to diverse communities and the impact you hope this will have?
I think that was something we recognized as important from the very beginning. That was a sort of an assumption in the project. And Emily was especially valuable in that because she did so much communication during the pandemic and learned which languages were the most important and where the communities were that would benefit from having the book in those languages. And just to, it's, we have two versions of the book. One has English and Spanish, and one has English and Haitian Creole. So we hope that'll be useful to as many families as possible.
Dr. Megan Walls reviewed Books for Blue from a trauma-informed perspective. Why was it essential to include this lens in your book, and how does it reflect your ongoing commitment to children's wellness?
Well, to start with the big picture and then zoom in, our First Spouse Initiative is called First Chance Delaware, and it has three pillars: ending childhood hunger in our state, promoting early language experiences toward healthy brain development and school readiness, which is the most directly related to what we're talking about. And the third pillar is promoting greater awareness and a more effective response to childhood trauma. Those three things are interconnected the way all foundational challenges are. I think something you probably heard me say the other day was, we all know that when kids and their families face foundational challenges, each one deepens all of the others. And it can be sort of an erosion of opportunity, geometrically in individual lives and generationally in families. So the importance of families and communities. And so I think the importance of addressing multiple things at once. I think everything we do with kids should be trauma-informed in a way. And that's not just in a responsive way, but in a preventive way, more importantly. Again, sort of like healthy attachment, unaddressed trauma can just derail a life, even before anybody knows it's there. So along with healthy attachment, I think, early effective intervention and even better prevention is a key to success, to setting kids up for success, for a first chance to succeed. That's where that comes from.
What practical tips or advice would you offer for families looking to foster a love of reading and learning at home?
Well, one of the reasons the we have the early language experience pillar, in addition to all the brain science stuff, is I was not a good reader. I did not have a love of reading. So all these things are something I wish I'd had. That's that was nobody's fault. It was just what happened. Again, I think the context of relationship is key. I think, and I hope this is reflected in the book, modeling. If you tell a child to read and never read yourself, it's not going to work. Loving relationships, you know, again, that positive relationship, reading with young children in an interactive way, you know, just like we learn to talk to the youngest kids, right? Some people call it serve and return. I don't love that phrase, but you know, you say, oh, what do you have there? Oh, I see you have your truck there. Even for kids who can't yet speak, it's so important to have that interactive language experience in the context of a supportive relationship. You know, just, you know, when you're in the grocery store and the kid's in the cart, and you go, oh, look, there are apples. Oh, look, there are carrots, things like that. That stuff is so important. We came up with a recipe card for literacy success 2 summers ago, I think, and it was talk, sing, read, play. I think, you know, these are things we can do every day that don't require a lot of money, that don't require any training, that is just an easy way to interact with kids, that encourages, again, that brain development. And the reading part, I think I'll slide in there naturally with the language piece, but certainly modeling, always making it a positive experience, you know, being excited about reading yourself.
What has been the most rewarding aspect of creating Books for Blue and launching the reading tour?
That's a good question. I think so much of the work of First Chance, and you may have heard me say this at the first event we had on this reading tour, is about pushing the needle. You know, a lot of these problems we know we're not going to solve in 8 years, or even some of them in one lifetime, right? So a lot of it is about pushing the needle, and we don't apologize for that. You know, generational work's really important. Let's do our bit, right? Books for Blue has given us a product to work with. So there was an endpoint to the project that we can show. And I think that's been an aspect of it I didn't anticipate as allowing us to have a particular kind of impact when you have a product that you can take around and show and use to make your more thematic, broader points. It's also been fun to work with Emily, who I worked at Friends when Emily was a student here. So that's really fun for me. And she's incredibly talented. So that's really fun. And again, the partnerships, go back to your original question about teachers and why they had a lasting impact. Everything about First Chance is about partnerships. So partnerships with libraries, with school, with community centers, healthcare providers. You mentioned Megan Walls, Edna Moores, all kinds of people. That's been very rewarding, the collaboration and partnership.
Have there been any standout moments or feedback from children or families that have resonated with you throughout this tour?
Sounds like I'm sticking with my theme on purpose here. I'm really not, but I think when a child looks at you, like, I trust you. I think that's the most rewarding feeling in the world. They just look at you like, okay, you get it. I trust you. And that is a fantastic feeling. We were a lighter note, you know, we were at a library in Dover, I think. And the little girl had checked out Books for Blue from the library. So she had the library copy. But we had brought some copies. So Emily and I signed some copies for her, two copies, one for her and one for her brother. And her mom was trying to give her those copies and take back the library copy. And she was upset about giving back. That's my book. And now these are your books to take home. We're going to put this one back in the library. And she took a lot of convincing, but to watch a kid like not want to give up the book, that was kind of fun. So that was a special moment when you realize that a book can mean that much to a child.
Do you have any final thoughts, reflections that you would like to share with our audience?
I don't know. I think, you know, reflecting back on this role overall, it's not really my inclination to be a spotlight person. But when you're given an opportunity to be an advocate, I think it would be a real waste not to try to take advantage of it. I've tried to take advantage of it, again, with partners, I should say, we've tried to take advantage of it. And it's been an incredible experience that I went to sort of not knowing what it would be, but it's been amazing. And I'm really grateful to have had a chance to do it.